Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the School of Human Potential Radio. Tonight we have a very, very interesting show. We're going head to toe. I know everybody has heard about palm reading or iris reading, but I'm not sure how many people actually have heard of face reading or, for that matter, toe reading. So I have a great pleasure of having wonderful guests with me tonight. One is going to talk about face reading. The other will talk about toe reading, and we'll have a round panel discussion, educate everybody, and have some fun along the way. So without further ado, allow me to welcome Megan Potter. She will represent the head of this discussion. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
How are you? And let's see if we have Jamie Bishop. She will be the toe of this particular discussion. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I'm trying to send you a better phone number connection.
Oh, well, we'll keep working on that. Just send that to me on Facebook. Megan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience, and what in the world is face reading?
Can I start with face reading and end with me?
Absolutely. Whichever way you feel more comfortable.
Okay. Well, there's a couple different schools of face reading. There is an older Western system that isn't used very much, but I'm trained in the Chinese system of face reading. So that uses the same elemental system and ideas that are connected with the rest of Chinese medicine, like acupuncture or herbalism. And so it actually developed within the same context of those things and was originally used medically by doctors for things like diagnosis and treatment and all that kind of stuff of illness. And there are actually some hospitals in rural parts of China where they're still trained in aspects of Chinese face reading for medical purposes. But in ancient times, face reading was used in all different parts of the Chinese culture, from human resources to medicine to matchmaking and all that kind of stuff. And so my teacher likes to say that face readers were the very first life coaches out there. So that is the system that I'm trained in. And I use Chinese face reading to look at the innate features of your face and allow them to kind of be a map of who you are as a person. So they tell me what you need to be happy and what makes you fulfilled, how you experience disappointment or frustration, the kind of work you'd like to do, all that kind of stuff.
Perfect. All right. So now you've kind of opened this up. So I have a question I'd like to follow up on. So sure. If there is Chinese face reading, are there other schools of face reading, and what would they be, if you know?
I know of one other Western one that was in development in kind of Greek culture around the same time as phrenology. No, whatever the head reading one is. But I don't know very much about it. And Western culture kind of, they stopped liking that kind of stuff at some point. And so they didn't keep developing it and didn't keep studying it. So I find it's not, there's not a lot of alignment between Western face, the traditional Western stuff, and the Chinese stuff. And and I find the Chinese stuff is more accurate. But I'm not exactly objective, so...
And so in terms of the, you've mentioned that it's accurate. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience? Again, I know, we've all heard of palm readers, and they can look at your palm and say, here's your lifeline and here's your, sex line and so on and so forth. Is there similar ideas in face reading, or would the principles be different?
Well, the principles are kind of the same, because palmistry, and in fact, the Chinese love palmistry. It's something they have a tradition for that too. So palmistry is looking at the lines that are formed in your hand when you're in utero, right? And so there are the innate kind of geography of the palm of your hand or your finger. And I expect that Jamie will tell us that toes are the same thing. And so when I read someone's face, I'm looking at the innate geography of their face, like how big their nose is, the shape of their forehead, their cheeks, all of that kind of stuff tells me about a person. My personal experience with face reading, I got my teacher's book, which is called Wisdom of Your Face, and I was probably up till 2 o'clock in the morning reading it because I could not put it down. It was like electricity going through me reading her work. And my husband was in the bath while I was reading the book, and I went downstairs. My husband is this thing where he takes 3 or 4 hour long baths. He's his laptop downstairs and watches movies while he has a bath. So I went out to talk to him, and I was like, oh, my God, I know who you – I understand who you are because I was reading the book. And my teacher works with face reading elementally, using the 5 elements. And I was like, oh, my God, so you're a water person, which explains the 3 hour baths, and a wood person. And I was reading him stuff out of the book. And I was like, I totally think that's why you're like this and like this and like this. And he told me about 2 weeks later that he'd been thinking about everything I told him out of the book, and that he'd actually made this profound decision about how he was going to move forward in his life because something I had said in the book had helped him to realize the truth about him and something he needed in his day-to-day life. And that was just from the first time I read the book. So when I work with people one-on-one or in groups or anything like that, people tell me that it is somewhere between disturbing and crazy, freaky, amazing how accurately I can describe them or pinpoint what's going on for them.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I actually, I did have an opportunity to speak with your teacher, I believe a year or maybe a year and a half ago. Jean Hayner is her name, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And it was a fascinating conversation. So very, very cool book. I have a copy as well. I believe I was able to pinpoint who I am. And Jean was kind enough to tell me that the size of my nose was actually a good thing. So apparently, I do have a face for radio, so that's the wonderful part that I had from that particular discussion.
I talk to people, and they ask me, well, tell me one thing about them, and people with big noses, I mean, obviously have, like, one thing that definitely, I mean, not everybody, but lots of people have one thing that stands out, but usually people with big noses are the ones who are the most sensitive about it, and so I always say to them, I know you're not going to like this, but, I mean, obviously your nose is your most prominent feature, but it's not bad, let me tell you why it's good, so, but other people aren't so upset if I'm like, well, your mouth is your most prominent feature, or whatever. There's something about nose people don't like that.
Well, listen, my nose is my nose. It's it is what it is. I'm fine with it. I don't have any problems with it. There was a time when I wrote a letter to Barbara thinking about potentially doing something with the nose. I actually invited her to my wedding. I'm talking about Barbara Streisand for anybody who doesn't know who Barbara is. I wrote her a letter inviting her to my wedding, saying what an inspiration she was to me. You know, was somebody that that certainly decided not to change her nose. I was a kid; I didn't know exactly what the story behind it was. I do now, but aside from childhood and adolescence, I've never had really a problem with the size of my nose. And as Jean pointed out, it was very important because that goes into my intuitiveness and my sensitivity. So all good there. Perfect. All right. So in terms of the face reading, what are we looking at? Because faces change from time to time.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. they do. And so if I tell you that your face is a map of your soul, so imagine that the innate that you came into the universe as the eternal part of you is here, and your face is the way it tells everyone else around it who it is, right? So as your soul changes, so does your face. So as you take in lessons from life around you, so if things happen to you and you decide I'm a victim and no one loves me, that's going to write itself on your face. But if you have experiences and you decide, no, I'm going to I'm going to surmount these, and I'm going to learn to forgive and give, that writes itself on your face. And so actually what happens is that the changes in your face are reflective of the growth or lack of growth changes in you. So they're not the the changes happen because who you are is changing. And so they're still speaking about who you are.
So how instantaneous is that? You know, if somebody is going through a troubled time and then they get over that, you know, if you were with them along the way, documented them, how quickly would that change occur?
Well, that's awesome because, you know, in troubled times, there are temporary stress markers that can show up. So, for example, you might notice that all of a sudden you have really dark circles under your eyes, and maybe they've been there for a couple weeks or a couple months, but you know they weren't there before. And it's like, where did those come from? And that's actually a sign called unshed tears, puffiness or darkness under your eyes. And so some people have those all of the time, and it tells me who they are all the time. But in a time of stress, you might have them because you're having a hard time processing your emotions during this time of stress. And when you work through it, that's going to go away. There are other signs that can show up in your eyes or lines in your face that we might see. They might look more deeper while you're stressed, and then they kind of go away when you get over it. But then you can also have experiences where you have the experience and the stress, and even though you moved on, it still has left a mark on your face. A really great example of this is that people ask me what I do when I'm out shopping and things, you know, because that's how people make conversation. And this gives me the opportunity to read a lot of people's faces. And I was in a music store, and this guy was like, "Oh my God, what's that? Read my face." And I said, "Well, I can tell that there's a particular line you can get on your face that's called a sorrow line. And if you don't move through the sorrow, it can be extended and become a grief line." And I was like, "Well, I can tell that you've had a lot of grief in your life." And he literally went and got his other coworkers because he'd lost his wife 2 years ago. And well, he was a beautiful human being, and he'd moved through it, and he was working on it. He still hadn't learned how to embrace the grief and move through it, and so it was still on his face. So when lines stay on your face, when the marks from that stress stay on your face afterwards, it tells me in some way that experience has impacted you and it's still impacting you. So some people go through some experiences like the loss of a spouse and they come out of it without grief lines. And it's not that they didn't grieve. It's that they learned how to move with the emotion and process it. And they got the gifts that come at the end of grief, and they worked with all of that. And people who keep the grief lines are people who haven't quite figured out how to do that. And so some part of them is still grieving.
Makes sense. All right. Well, everybody, this is a live show. So if you'd like to call in and ask a question of Jamie or Megan, please feel free to do so. You can call us at 888-429-5471. And after we come back from a short break, we're going to talk to Jamie, and we'll also be finding out about things like Facebook. And if somebody has Botox, would we be still able to read their face? Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task. Never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
And welcome back to School of Human Potential radio program, where today we're talking head to toe, and we're talking about the Chinese art of face reading. as well as toe reading. And we'll get to Jamie in just a moment. But things that I was teasing about in terms of Facebook, I know you just mentioned, Megan, that you love going shopping because you can read people's faces. My God, when Facebook came out, what did you think?
Oh, it's so awesome. And I like people will private message because I'm a nice person and people ask me questions and I answer them and I'll just go, it's like, I just have to go to Facebook and load up their photos and go to, okay, so the answer to your question is because they don't even have to send me stuff. It's just right there. It's
perfect. Awesome. So do you accept friends based on what the, what their face looks like? Nah, no, not you.
Not me.
Well, you're too kind. All right.
My elemental nature is that of a collector. So I'm totally, I love friends.
Got it. All right. Well, everybody, please check out Limitless Megan on Facebook. She may accept you as a friend. We'll come back to Botox in a moment. I'll bring in Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And we have Jamie Bishop for everybody. Jamie is doing another incredible thing in terms of reading. She's focusing on toe reading. Jamie, I heard about toe reading for the first time when I was in Arizona. At the Celebrate Your Life, even before that, in Divine Wisdom Conference. And it was a very, very cool thing. I didn't get a chance to get a reading because there were always pretty long lines. But tell us more about yourself and toe reading.
That's great that that's where you learned about it, because that is where I learned about it almost 9 years ago. Through the Celebrate Your Life conference. I saw Casey Miller, this beautiful, elegant woman, sitting on the floor with a line about an hour and a half long out the door, waiting to receive a toe reading from her. And I looked at her, and I looked at the line, and I said, I need to be doing that. And 9 years later, that is what I am doing.
Wow.
And have been doing.
So what is toe reading, and how is it different from what we already discussed, the palmistry or iridology? I think I'm saying that correct, or face reading in this particular case?
I would say it's extremely close. It's just a different tool to find out how to access what we're doing with our bodies and how our thoughts, feelings, and emotions affect our bodies in that way. So much like Megan was saying, toe reading is this idea that our thoughts, feelings, and emotions show up on our toes. And so through the shape, color, direction, you know, all kinds of little ways, we can see where our thoughts are, and more specifically our subconscious belief systems. So the things that create the action and the temperament and the movement and the communication in our lives. So it all shows up in our toes. It's absolutely fascinating.
It is very fascinating. And in terms of accuracy, what have you been able to see?
The most common response when somebody sits with me just with a little teaser session for toe reading is, wow, that is like crazy accurate. That is the wow. That is the phrase everybody uses. So...
Now we need to get the two of you together and have somebody have a reading where you're reading their toes, and you're reading their face, and we want to compare the two and see what you can come up with. That would be interesting.
Absolutely, it would be very accurate, I'm sure.
All right, and then I think we need to get a party. So we'll get somebody who's reading the palms. We'll get the iridology. What am I missing? There must be other things that your body expresses that we can read.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. All right. So in terms of toes, again, you know, we have one face, but we have many toes. So are there different, you know, things that you look for, or are you going to specific toe?
Each toe represents a different Ayurvedic element. So ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And then, you know, each of the toes also then represents, like the big toe is destiny, the second toe is communication, the third toe is action or temperament, the fourth toe is our ring toe, which is our relationship toe, and then the baby toe is the only one different from foot to foot. 97.7% of the population are right-handed, so the right foot is external self and the left foot is internal self, and the left toe is all about faith and trust, and then the right toe is about prosperity and abundance.
Wow.
So
in that
0.03% of the population, the roles would be reversed, where the left foot would be the external self and the right foot would be the internal self. But most people, it is right foot external, left foot internal.
And can you tell that somebody is right or left-handed by looking at the toes, or do you have to ask them?
For me, I feel it comes through intuitively for me. So if ever I mention the left foot to anybody, it is because they or somebody they are close to needs to flip-flop it.
Sounds great. Just flip-flop your feet and walk differently. That would be cool, too. All right. And how did toe reading come about? I know you've mentioned the person that you learned it from, but when was this discovered? Again, I'm not familiar with the background and history of toe reading.
Right. It's a relatively new concept, but it is based on a 3,000-plus-year-old practice, which is the reflexology. So it's also very Eastern philosophy, where we can access healing through the acupressure points in our feet, our hands, and our ears through reflexology. So Casey Miller and I'm sure several others around the world, much like it usually happens, it happens kind of all at once all around the world. Mm-hmm. So several different philosophies, but all based on the same idea that the same issues that were showing up for, client after client after client, patient after patient after patient, were, formulated some sort of something that we could look into and determine that, for example, there's a deep line in the big toe, which does happen on some people that at some point in their life, and that's the timeline, that they really hit a deep valley that was a dark place for them, and it took some effort to climb out of that.
I see. So, and this this question is for both of you, Megan and Jamie, but when you're doing the reading, if we're looking at the reading, is it telling you about the past, the present, and the future, or just the past and the present?
Jamie, do you want to go first?
No, go ahead and go first, Megan.
Okay. Your face is kind of broken down into regions, and so the same parts of your face talk to me about who you are, but they can also talk to me about time. And each region is assigned a decade, and there's a spot on your face for every single year of your life. So it talks about your past, because I can look at the part of your face that talks about your past, and then it can talk about your future when I look at the decades yet to come. So there's a certain amount of I'm not big on past, present, future kind of reading. Like, I often will talk about past, but I'm not big on future. It's not my kind of intuitive bag. I don't do it with other things. So I haven't spent a ton of time learning how to, like, be super specific with that. But there are certain things that are obvious on a face about your 40s are going to be really good, or you need to take extra care of yourself by the time you get to 50, or that kind of thing. But, yeah, you can see markers of this year is going to be important or not important, or that kind of thing.
Interesting. And Jamie, from the toes perspective?
From the toes perspective, there is a timeline of life. So where the toe meets the foot is where we were born, and then the tip of the toe is where we are now. So the timeline of our life is throughout the toe. So therefore the past kind of can show up in, anything that occurs on the foot before the toe, and then, on the foot, on the solid part of the foot itself. Then I kind of agree with Megan. The future, future is really based on our past and the decisions that we've made in the past and how that affects us making our decisions in the future. So to me, future is 100% up to you.
I see.
So I don't really, I wouldn't say that I predict the future. I would more, coach somebody into changing past behaviors so that they can get through and not make the same decisions or or things that are no longer serving them in their highest purpose path.
And that's actually a wonderful segue. I'm sorry, Megan, were you planning to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, like, what the things that mark things for that mm-hmm. say this year is going to be significant, mm-hmm. that says this is significant, but what is the definition of significant?
Right.
I've had someone come where that marker was in a past, and I said, well, what happened in this year? And she said, that's the year my son was born. He was my first live birth. I'd lost two babies before him.
Mm-hmm.
So significant can be good. Like, this is my the miscarriages weren't marked, the birth was. But then other people, that's the year my mother died. So that's the thing about throwing into the future. It becomes this, well, this year's going to be significant, and then you're going to spend the whole year freaking out about what could have been great, right? Like, so it's like, yeah, I'd like to know what happens at 67, but we'll see, kind of thing.
Very interesting. And as I started mentioning, in terms of coaching, and I believe both of you work with people. It's not just a reading. But have you noticed where you did the initial reading and you're working with the person, then you're doing the reading after that, and the face or the toes change?
Instantly.
Wow, instantly. Okay, great. So you have noticed, and it was that fast. So that's good to hear. How about you, Megan?
For sure.
Yeah, things can change instantly and over time.
Agreed.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Very, very cool. All right, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion from head to toe. Please stay with us. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say but wow? I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirms so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
And welcome back to School of Human Potential radio program, where tonight we're talking head to toe. And we're speaking with Megan and Jamie about face reading and toe reading. So when we left off, I know I actually wanted to come back to this. So Megan, if somebody has had a facelift, or if somebody has had Botox, is this something that really precludes them or excludes them from having their face read, or you can still do quite a bit with it?
No, you can still do the face reading, of course, because now we're looking at what you have now, and sometimes you can compare that to what you had then. So I actually had a client who'd had a significant nose job done, and she was telling me that she was really frustrated. She was about 42 when we were talking, and she really felt like her career should have taken off by now and things should have been going great. And even though internally she felt like this should have been happening. Externally, it was like fighting. Nothing was working. And I asked her to show me a picture of her before her nose job and after. And your nose, like I said, parts of your face reflect certain decades, and your nose reflects your 40s. And so the more prominent your nose is, the more prominent you'll be in your 40s, the more successful. And originally, her nose came right out from the bridge and like went out in a very straight line, and it was a very prominent nose that came out from her face. And what she had done is she had had them cut like a cute little ski slope into it. So now the whole top of her nose curved down and in, and only the end of her nose came out. And so based on her nose shape originally, she should have been highly successful by 42. her model, her blueprint of her life that was predestined for her or pre-planned for her was one where 40 would have been like hugely successful for her. It would have been a great decade. She would have gained a lot of personal power and possibly money. And what she had done to her nose is the shape had cut that away so that it probably wasn't going to happen until she was 46. It wasn't going to start to come out more easily. But there was an internal knowing that this should have been happening, but because she changed the structure of her face, it couldn't.
Right. And is there anything you can do, you know, plaster something on there to get it back, or that's it? You're gone. 4 years out.
Well, there's a certain amount of awareness and right. of who you are, and then start working more in alignment with the energy you have and the energy of the season you're in, and that will help to amplify it. But usually, you know, it's better advice is to go talk to a face reader before you cut your face so that you know what you're affecting, right? Like, so you can consciously make that decision about it.
All right. Well, I haven't thought about getting a nose job ever since I was a kid, and now I'm definitely not going to. I'm 39, so apparently my 40s are supposed to rock.
Great.
And speaking of that, and since you know we haven't had any live callers who asked you questions, I'm gonna put you on the spot, Megan. I hope you don't mind. Since I can't very quickly send my toes to Jamie. I can send my face to Megan, and Megan, you and I are Facebook friends, so you see my face. Can we do a little impromptu face reading so people know how
sure.
it goes?
Of course, yeah. So when I'm looking at your face, ideally I want to be able to look at you from the front and from the side, but I'm just looking at a front picture of you, so I won't be able to speak to you about everything that's going on. I can tell you that when you read a face, you look at, you're kind of reading on two levels at the same time. So the first one is looking at the little tiny details, the specific size and shape of your nose, the specific size and shape of your eyes, that kind of thing. But I'm also looking for a big theme elementally. So Jamie said that they use the Ayurvedic elements with toe reading, and I use the Chinese five elements with your face, which are water, wood, fire, metal, and earth. close, but not quite the same. And and so what I'm looking for is what element stands out the most to me about your face. So because that's going to describe a you're automatically going to get a lot of information about a person from that. So you already told us that the size of your nose tells us that you're highly sensitive and that you're intuitive. You actually have another feature on your face that amplifies the intuition, and that's that you have a little widow's peak. In the front of your hairline, your hair comes down. That's the yep. sign of somebody who's a natural psychic or intuitive. You actually have two elements really strongly on your face. One is the metal, which we see in your nose, and in the fact that I can see your upper eyelids when you look at me. Normally, we don't see them. So visible upper eyelids is a metal feature. So that tells me you're as you said, sensitive, but also perfectionistic. It's very important for you to get everything right. You can be a little black and white in your thinking. You have very high standards for yourself and for everyone else that you hold people to. The other element I see in your face is water. So you have a really strong forehead, which tells me you're an intellectual. So your forehead talks about whether people with strong foreheads are often intellectuals. They like to be academics. They like facts and information to process. They love to learn. It's also the sign of somebody who's watery, so they can be creative. They can be intuitive. If someone has a strong forehead and it's domed, then they're often musically talented. That's a water feature, too, and highly creative. You don't have a domed forehead. You have the forehead of an intellectual, and you have a nice strong chin. So I see a lot of the metal energy, the perfectionism, but also the water, which is someone who's creative and who's intuitive and psychic, but also both of those elements share something in common, which is that they're not very communicative. And your mouth tells me that you have very thin lips, which is actually not uncommon for a white man. And that's because the thicker your lips, the more emotionally expressive or generous you are. And so you're not somebody who easily shares his emotions, who doesn't talk about what he's feeling on the inside with just anyone and sundry who comes along. And your elements emphasize that to me. They also tell me you're someone who needs a lot of time alone to regenerate and kind of clean out your own energy.
I'm waiting until you're done to confirm all of that, but please continue if you're not finished.
I'm good. I'm done.
Perfect. Well, listen, with exception of one thing that you've mentioned, I think everything is spot on.
Oh, and what's the thing?
The inability or not being able to express emotions with everybody, that I would say is not the case, because I'm very open about my emotions. I talk to my peeps or anybody on the radio that would listen. So that part I don't have a problem with. Maybe as a child growing up and learning about myself and becoming more comfortable with who I was, perhaps at that time that would have been correct. But not I would say not for the last 10-15 years, when I actually understood who I was, accepted who I was. Other than that, you're spot on. I definitely like time alone. That's how I recover and recuperate. We've mentioned about me being intuitive and psychic. That is true. I would like to consider myself an intellectual. I'm sure many people would disagree with that statement, but I agree with that in principle, because we're there. And I do hold everybody to very high standards. I'm not a perfectionist in the regular term, where everything has to be perfect. I'm very laid back, but I do expect things. And communication is very important to me. If somebody says that they will do something, I expect it to be done, or tell me that you're not going to do it, and then we'll talk about it, and I'll accept it, and we'll get another strategy going. But everything is a very, very accurate statement, and that's just by looking at the front of my face. So great job.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to say on the perfectionism thing that that I'm taught to understand that everything has kind of like two sides to a coin. And so a lot of people with your nature struggle with perfectionism, but it's not meant to be a struggle. It's actually meant to be expressed as you're telling me. So kind of like the light side, I guess, of being a perfectionist is that you have really high standards and you know what you want, and you can communicate them clearly. But the dark side of that is that you get hung up on it. So it's not that all perfectionists have to get hung up on perfection. It's that it's meant to bring the gift that you're the person who brings beauty into the world, people with that feature, right? And so without someone who had really good standards and a clear vision, we wouldn't be able to create beautiful things. So that's what you're supposed to be able to do. So that tells me that that element's actually working pretty healthy for you.
Thank you. So, this was fascinating. All right, Jamie, I need to send you my toes, and then we can continue this discussion. But
interestingly enough, I can now describe your toes based on what she said, and you have confirmed to be true.
very cool. Okay, so we can try that way. But and thank you again, Megan. I appreciate you doing this on the spot. Didn't mean to put you on it, but you did fabulously.
Well, thank you.
In terms of people getting readings, I know Jamie. I believe you just moved to Alabama, and Megan, you're in Canada. Happy belated Canada Day!
Thanks.
How do people get in touch with you? Can some things be done online, or do they have to be done in person? Let's start with Megan, since you two are both very nice.
I work online almost predominantly. That's the thing that I do the most. So people contact me on Facebook or through my website, and I don't do a lot of one-on-one work this year. I'm doing a lot of teaching this year, but I do. That's how I work. People mail me pictures, and I work with people that way.
Perfect. So then they would need to mail you some pictures of the front of their face and then the side shots as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. And how about you, Jamie?
The same is true for me. So I have been working with high-end clients in person, but mostly I have a staff of tarot readers that I can draw from to show up at your parties and events and that kind of thing. But through Facebook at Jamie Allen Bishop or Soul Heart Entertainment. And Soul Heart Entertainment is also my website, so you can get an idea of how to get a tarot reading done. And I have access to several other. In fact, Megan, you and I should talk.
I'm serious. This could be a very, very interesting party, because then you can have all sorts of reading, and we can set up lines, and you can have your toes analyzed, you can have your face analyzed, somebody can be reading your palm, and then we can write the whole thing up. It sounds like a ton of fun.
It sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah, so when School of Human Potential is having its annual outing, or we're going to have a conference that we are planning to set up for everybody, so we can get a chance to meet folks, then we would love to do that. Invite both of you down there and have some readings.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll be there.
That would be a lot of fun. All right. We're going to take another short commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue with Jamie and Megan. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg, founder of School of Human Potential. To help you determine if it is the right thing for you, I'd like to ask you a few simple questions. Do you consider yourself a hardworking, educated, well-informed individual? If so, do you ever find yourself in a situation that you wish you were better prepared for, such as holding your own in a conversation at an art museum or a concert hall? Managing stress? Parenting? Physical confrontation? Or in bed? Truth is, being a well-rounded individual who's prepared for life's many challenges is difficult in our day and age. We are much too busy working, raising families, and trying to carve out a few moments of peace, let alone worry about becoming self-actualized. We get it. The reason for starting the School of Human Potential was to help people like you become well-rounded and self-actualized without taking a lot of time or money. We found and filmed world-renowned experts and put their knowledge into easily accessible online courses spanning various topics of mind, body, and spirit. You can go at your own pace and access them on any device. By taking the courses, here are some of the benefits you can expect. You will broaden your horizons and deepen your understanding of the world and yourself. You will hold your own in a cultural conversation. You'll be able to protect yourself and your loved ones in a life-threatening situation. You'll find peace and meaning in your life. You'll become a better spouse, partner, and lover. You'll be fit, healthy, and financially secure. But if that's not enough, know that the majority of the courses at School of Human Potential are exclusive. You simply won't find them anywhere else. And here's the most amazing part. Outside of the School of Human Potential, you would expect to pay thousands of dollars for this information and spend countless hours learning it. However, when you enroll with us, you will pay less than $100 per course, and each one takes up to 8 hours. To start, go to www.schoolhp.com. Our hope is that you allow us to take you on a journey leading to a new and improved you. Here's to you reaching your full potential. And welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio, where we're talking from head to toe. We're discussing head or face reading, I guess. I'm sure there might be head reading as well, but we're talking about face reading and toe reading. If anybody wants to call in and chat with our panel, please do so at 888-429-5471. All right. During the break, we were all chatting, and the topic of people's faces, and I think doppelganger, is that the proper word I'm saying?
Doppelganger, yeah.
Doppelganger, okay. So at least it sounded like that. We've seen all of them, on Facebook and somewhere else of who does this celebrity look like. And I wanted to ask Megan a question, because I always, when I look at somebody, I will, go through my Rolodex in my mind, and I can tell who they look like. Which actress do you look like, or which is the person that you look like? And when I would, describe that, or when I would say you look like this actress, and they would look it up, they're like, no, I don't look like that at all. But I sense that, whether I'm sensing the energy similarity behind those, whether it's the facial features. But why can I pick up the difference and other people can't? Or am I just wrong? What do you think?
Well, see, when I'm not in face reading mode, that's how I am too. It's like I tell people, I literally can't tell people apart if I'm not like turned on to face read. And I do that a lot. I see similarities and I kind of log people. And there's the Matt Damon guy, and that's the guy that looks like my sister, or the girl who looks like my sister, right? I think you're probably onto something with the energy thing, because part of the work that I do is about looking at your elemental nature. So, and there's a certain number of set elemental combinations. There's 9 elements, and so there could be 81 combinations altogether. And so there, we do have elemental natures that are like other people's elemental natures. And so I wonder if energetically that's what you're reading, because we certainly respond energetically to the element that somebody else has subconsciously. So I think that's totally possible. But when I'm working, like when I turn on the face reading, I can tell you that everybody else think look alike don't look alike to me.
Okay.
And that's about seeing, like looking at someone, like actually seeing someone.
Very interesting. So, I know all of this have encountered, this. You would be coming at a party, let's say, and you're looking at a person, and you can tell whether this is a person you want to associate with or not. You are looking at their face. You're obviously reading their energy in some way. And yeah. You know, this is my person, this is not my person. So, in terms of face reading, I think everybody is used to doing that to some extent. You're just doing that on a very specific way and much more detailed.
We're all innate face readers. We just don't know what it, like if I said, why do you feel that way? You'd say, I don't know. And we've also been told not to make snap judgments based on things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You'll look at someone and you'll be like, oh my God, I would not trust him. Like, as far as I could throw him just by looking at his face, or I'd never give him my money, right? But, and you're probably responding to something real that I could explain to you why you feel that way, but you don't know. So, and that's kind of where face reading came from, is this innate knowledge of why do you feel that way about them?
Perfect. And Jamie, I know this is a very, silly thought, but do you ever do a reading and you already analyze the person and you're thinking, I'm going to say this and I know what the person's response is going to be, and I'm really worried about getting hit in the face with that too?
Absolutely, because, it's not a mistake that our feet show up as our soul. Mm-hmm. And our bodies don't lie. So when I bring up a subject that somebody isn't quite ready to delve into or let go of yet, it definitely can be a challenge. I've learned very specific communication strategies to try to get around that so that they can learn to open up to that and feel vulnerable in the best way possible, where they're letting go of something that doesn't serve them anymore. So, absolutely.
Makes sense. And Megan, I'm assuming as well, you would read somebody's face and you're like, I don't know, sure, I'm not going to tell you that.
You know, my teacher told us that just because you see something doesn't mean you should say it. Some things you could just put on a shelf and not mention at all. Yep. I was going to say to Jamie, though, don't you sometimes feel kind of like you should have a psychologist's couch, like the stereotypical red couch they can lie back on? And so my father, because yes, there are things that, and the thing is, you don't always know what's going to be triggering for a person, right? Like we can see
absolutely
something so obvious about them, but we don't know which things have been given baggage through their life. And so you always kind of have to be cautious about how you say things and the way you word them. So, because you just never know what they're going to go, oh my God.
So. The number one way that I handle that, just because it seems to have served me really, really well, is, and really it serves my clients, it doesn't serve me personally, but to be able to get to that place is just to say, know that I say this with love. It is coming, not coming from a place of judgment. It is coming from a place of let's overcome this.
Right. That's a good way of doing it. Perfect. Well, ladies, how do people find you again? I know, Jamie, you've mentioned that, but so Jamie, how do people find you, get a tarot reading from you again?
Soul Heart Entertainment, S-O-U-L, Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Entertainment, spelled out, .com, or on Facebook through soulheart.entertainment.
Perfect. And Megan, how about yourself?
I am easy to find on all social media. I'm Limitless Megan. And my business website is limitlessliving.ca.
Perfect.
Just remember, I live in Canada, so .ca.
Yes, very, very nice. And where in Canada are you, by the way?
I live about half an hour from Niagara Falls.
Beautiful. I was in Niagara Falls last year. I quite
and you didn't
enjoyed
come
it.
Visit me?
I did not, and I'm so sorry.
You should
see the expression on my face right now. I think you would be able to read it. Sorry. No, it was a very short trip. We took a bus ride from New York with a friend of mine who came to visit from Europe, and I took my daughter and my friend, and we went from New York on a basically 2-day to Niagara Falls, and then straight back. So didn't get a chance to visit, but I will do so next time.
Well, I'm here for dinner.
Thank you. It's only half an hour away. It certainly would be worth the trip. All right, ladies. What is the last thing that you want to tell people? What can they take away from this? So if somebody is just listening to the show and, you know, Megan, they're thinking about their face, and when they look in the mirror, what are two or three things that everybody should be able to notice right away and be able to interpret?
Okay. So if you're going to take only one thing away from hearing this, what I want people to hear is that there's a blueprint for who you are, and everything that you think is wrong or bad about you is actually an intentional part of who you are, and your gifts come from your strengths. Are from your weaknesses, I should say. Your strengths and your weaknesses are intimately connected. And so I don't want you to change anything because you're perfect. It's not about changing. It's about learning to be the best version of you and not about becoming someone different. And that is, everybody can be this amazing version of themselves. Looking at faces, I like to tell people to pay attention to eyes. It's really easy to remember. We always look at people's eyes. The more open or large your eyes are, that talks about your openness, your willingness to be intimate and to share personal details, and how much you like to talk to other people. And the smaller or more closed you hold your eyes, the more private you are as an individual and more likely you are to share yourself with only a lucky few people. And you can tell that when you meet another person automatically, whether there's someone who's going to be willing to tell you what happened with their mother when they were 10, or whether there's someone who'd prefer you talked about the weather until they got to know you a bit.
Very, very cool. Jamie, how about you?
For me, I think it's the same as Megan said, which is just, you know, this Toe reading is a tool to help people really fall in love with who they are and what they're here to accomplish, and walking that highest purpose path that we all are here for.
Perfect. Well, both of you, thank you so very much. It's been very educational for me. I'm happy that my 40s are about to rock. And I was very happy that we've made the connection. I'm sure we'll see you at the School of Human Potential party very soon.
Yay!
Thank you, Alan.
It's my sincere pleasure. And thank you to everybody for listening. We will see you next week on School of Human Potential Radio. Enjoy your evenings.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.